So this evening I'd like to invite us to reflect a little bit on compassion. And I realize it often for me when I'm reflecting on a theme and wanting to share some of the teachings, and there's a sense of I'm not sure what to say. This is a very common thing, but that it's so important, you know. And it's such an important quality in our life, and it's such a central sort of factor in the teachings. And so I thought, come on, you know, have some courage. Just open up a little bit, some reflection about, well, what does this mean? Or, you know, what is that? And maybe what is its importance? What does this bring to life? You know, what do you know of compassion? And why is it important? You know, it's there so much through the teachings as the sort of beginning, middle and end of the path, you know, the sort of the reason for practicing and or the way of practicing, and then the fruit, you know, the fruition. So it's obviously really key, you know, and in the teachings. And I could feel like for myself in approaching this topic, you know, one of the resistances or, you know, difficulties or tentativenesses of being so aware of the limitations of my own heart, you know, my own capacity for compassion and my own capacity to really understand that and practice that and embody that, you know, because it seems like such a sort of great, you know, with a capital G sort of thing. You know, it has power in it, doesn't it? You know, and you think maybe of great compassionate beings that you might know of or have heard of or have even met, you know, or these great people who act in the world in compassionate ways. And so I don't know if it's true for you, but it can feel a bit like, well, it's a bit way out there, you know, for some other more advanced beings or something like that. and yet, you know, it really is, I think, a quality without which we die. And I think maybe on many, many levels we die without compassion. And so do others. You know, and right now, you know, all over the world, beings are dying from lack of care. That's, my, sort of, that's a bit big, isn't it, with a capital B? You know, so maybe this is also another reason why, you know, I want to get into this topic, because, you know, this kind of a big, you know, there's a big amount of suffering in the world and a big need for compassion, and you can almost like, I don't even want to think about it, it's just too much. And particularly if we're sensitive creatures, which a lot of us are here, I feel, it can just be too much. It can so easily feel like too much, can't it? You know? Like, and our own suffering, let alone the suffering of anyone else, or all beings, or, you know, just this being, that's already too much sometimes. So with, you know, we'll gird up our loins, get our courage together and continue with the theme. because it feels like not only is it, you know, a quality that we need, you know, really for our own well-being and happiness, and but yeah, the world needs it very desperately, I think. And you know, what is it, what would it be to really be able to practice with the aspiration that we allow this quality, this capacity, this natural human capacity to be able to come forth, to be available, to be embodied, and you know, to be, you know, available for, you know, whatever, for ourselves, for others, for actions, thoughts, for our being. And that, I think there's a sort of courage, isn't there? There's a kind of courage needed, because I think the big because that I could sort of, more I read and listened to different talks and everything, it seemed to me that the biggest problem is really our fear of suffering. It's like, it's frightening. It's, you know, and maybe we can sense that, you know, when we see another suffering, or, you know, in ourself, and it's like, ooh, no. I don't know, if you sense that sort of very, again, very natural kind of, you know, maybe it's like recoiling, you know, I don't want that, and wish it wasn't happening, and all of this, and the way that really is, if we don't question that, if we don't see that, if we don't, oh, get to know, and in a way bring compassion to that heart that shuts down, and it's like, just, I can't look at this, I can't be with this, I don't, oh, if we don't actually kind of, you know, like we've been doing so much, it feels like this week, saying, okay, you know, yeah, this is, there's anger, can I, you know, be compassionate with that, can I feel the pain and the discomfort of that, and actually open my heart to that, in some way be with that. And how much, you know, we shut down. I mean, I came up with this, maybe you can add to this, the list of things that we do when the dukkha, when the pain and the discomfort and the suffering of different kinds, you know, when it hits, things that happen that we turn away, shut down, avoid, deny, repress, belittle, rage at, hate, get overwhelmed with, you know, misunderstand, pity, oh, poor them. Poor them. That over there. I mean, you know, there's probably lots of other ways you can think of, you know, when you think about what's your response to difficulty and suffering. Now it's like, yeah, there's lots that happens there. You know, what might be asked of me that I do not want to give? So, it feels like, yeah, so we need to be very respectful, we need to be very sensitive to that way, those different ways perhaps of avoiding, of because when you know, and then again, yeah, okay, so what's the other, I've got sort of come up with these two streams of what's unhelpful and helpful, or the sort of away from compassion and more towards compassion. Okay, so you think about your capacity, you know, to turn towards the difficult, like you probably, you know, this week, and you know, just those times when you have been able to be with, or you've been present with another in a small group, or, you know, in the dining room or in here, and you just, you can sense the suffering and the discomfort, and you just, your heart just, oh, may this one be well, you know, may this one not suffer. And you feel that kind of, sometimes the word in the Pali is like to quiver, to resonate, to feel with, you know, the suffering of another. We feel it, we're not, it's not that over there, it's kind of just, we can sense that, and we can feel it. And we can then, on the basis of that, empathize, we can listen, we can, you know, then maybe again the 10,000 ways we might respond out of that basic kind of willingness, you could say, to be present to feel with. And that it's from that, you know, perhaps along with a kind of wisdom and wise reflection and sense of, you know, that mindful presence of being able to discern what's appropriate. So you have wisdom and compassion. But that without that basic sense of resonance of kind of being, feeling with, then we get into kind of different kinds of sort of quasi-compassion, or sort of looks like compassion, like I'm going to, right, for God I've got to help, or right, if I do things, oh, quick, think of something. You know, say something, do something, quick. What's that? Is that compassion? Didn't think so. It's more like, what is this? Like fixing is kind of, no, it's, it actually is coming from aversion. It's coming from, oh no, I don't want this to be happening, so quickly do something so it'll go away. Mm. It's something like that, isn't it? Oh, so it's, you know, and then that's exhausting. Well, you know people who are always trying to help? And it's like, oh, thank you, you know. Just stop it for a while, please. It's almost like, you know, it can be a compulsion. You know, got to prove somehow that I'm all right, you know, and I'm good and I'm nice and I'm likeable because I can help. So get out of my way. You know, I mean, I see that, you know, I see that in myself. You want to look good, you know, yeah, see, I'm helping. So, you know what I'm saying, like quasi, or sort of, this looks like compassion, or we're trying, but it just, it isn't really that. And that again, we don't, can we not judge that? Can we just see that, you know, in ourselves or in others? And again, kind of, oh, that actually what that is still a desire, a movement away from the dukkha. Yeah. So the key thing is this kind of being able to approach the dukkha. This is the key thing. And it's like, in a way, sometimes, you could say, well, everything we're doing here on the retreat and in practice is we're trying to empower ourselves to be able to approach dukkha. You know. So we can actually respond and in a wise, you know, truly helpful way, which is never going to be a matter of policy, is it? You know, because conditions change. You know, what was helpful to say to somebody an hour ago, not so helpful now. And then, so there's this kind of, it's almost like the most ultimate mindfulness practice. Because to really aspire to that sort of compassionate, responsive presence, it's like you can't rest anyway. You've just got to stay really open. Maybe you've had that experience, you know, sometimes when you're listening to somebody, you know, and you're trying to stay in tune, you know, with what's needed and how sometimes that just in a way that very sensitivity is what helps the person. Doesn't matter what you say, you haven't said right, done the right thing or figured it out or helped them, you know, figure out the thing, but they have picked up that you are with them, that you are listening, that you are trying to be sensitive and follow and feel with kind of what they're, experiencing, knowing that you can never really know, can never really know. But you know that, isn't it? That makes a huge difference. And I think sometimes, you know, you hear about compassion fatigue, don't you? I don't know if any of you work in the caring professions, very common. And I think it's actually a lack of compassion fatigue because it's the work that's coming from, you know, got to and earn a living and, you know, look good and tick the boxes and get the next patient done. And that actually it's actually a lack of real access to that sort of tender, you know, human kind of sensitive spot. I mean, isn't it? Trungpa Rinpoche, something's called it the tender spot, where we are just with the dukkha, and it tenderizes us. It's you know, we can't get into the fixing and the figuring out. We don't. It's like we just stay in that and. Yeah, that, and I think that does take a kind of a training. Strange, isn't it? Well, maybe not so strange. Again, given the tendency we have to want to get away from what's uncomfortable and, you know, move towards the pleasant. So this pathways, perhaps that we can see the shutting down, and then the oh, okay, that. Feeling with whether it's our own suffering or another person's or some issue about the earth or animals or other beings, and being able to feel the that tenderness where we you can start to maybe feel more okay being around that, almost a kind of helplessness even you could say, but out of which can come kind of be a more appropriate response. So, I've got various ideas and thoughts that I just stop and invite you just for a few moments to reflect and just think, can you remember, can you maybe think of a moment when you felt compassion or you been on, you know, the receiving end of a compassionate action or some listening or something. Maybe during this week or some action that somebody did that was, you know, you felt a lot of caring in that. That you somehow felt the sense of that person's concern. Touching, really touching you. Maybe not here, you know, maybe longer ago. And I don't know if you can sort of view something, you know, if something's coming to mind, just to really have a sense of what is the value of that? Isn't it priceless? Doesn't it make, it makes life sort of, it's so, yeah, it starts to get hard to put words into, doesn't it? It's I have a sense that there's this tremendous sense of connection, of kind of almost belonging in the human race, or being really seen, that somehow I matter in the universe. And that maybe that, you know, that touch of compassion just in a moment can counter a lifetime's worth of feeling separate and alone and really not up to much. Can that touch of compassion just maybe for those few moments you just feel very different. That this is not something, this is partly why I wanted to sort of do this. It's like, this is not, like I was saying at the beginning, this is not something for someone else. Yeah, you have this great capacity, both to give and to receive that, perhaps greatest of all human capacities, you know, the capacity to feel with another and to respond out of caring concern. And the very deepest kind of happiness comes from that. And according to these teachings, and for you to investigate in your own experience, you know, but the very deepest kind of happiness is that which comes from compassion. Thich Nhat Hanh said, if we are aware of the paradise around us, it is because we have tasted suffering and we have learned how to practice with it and how to transform it into happiness. So, and I can, if I, about you, if I look into my life and reflect at different times, that there is, there's great joy, there's a kind of deep joy of connection, isn't there, in compassion, when that's there, it's, and I'm sure maybe different experiences are coming to mind for you. I remember, I mean, so many different ones have come to mind as I've reflected on this. I remember once, several years ago, when my foster mum was very old and ill and in hospital, and she'd had a hip replacement and she'd nearly died, and I'd been sitting at her bedside just trying to hang in there with that. Really, really hard. Really, really tenderizing my heart. And I went down in this vast hospital, vast, Addenbrookes in Cambridge in England. It's like a small town. And I went and sat in the cafe and just, you know, my heart just was kind of absolutely wide open, and just this sense of this huge, huge amount of suffering in that building. Different kinds, but just this huge sense of somehow compassion as well there. And it helped me to feel somehow that larger context of all of that going on and all of the care as well. So opening our heart with compassion, with loving kindness, is also opening our heart to joy, you know. And this is, I think, it's also maybe one of the selling points, you know, you want to, you know, all the Dharma's like, that's the selling point for me. So yeah, try compassion. It'll make you, it'll open your heart, and you'll be really joyful. If this, all this tenderizing, suffering bit feels a bit off-putting, then, you know, then it can also bring you great joy. And you know, maybe the logic of that is, you know, maybe not so difficult. It's like, don't we also have trouble opening our hearts to the joy in life? You know? Our little hearts are like, oh, squirt, you know, and so the enlarging is also increasing our capacity for joy, which then takes, you know, it's a little bit of noticing, but. You know, I think, I don't know, it's for you to, again, to find out for yourself. I think it's really true if we let it be true. And don't let ourselves stay, you know, locked on the, you know, there's another Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, who, you know, maybe you know a little bit about his life, how much he's, you know, been in the midst of suffering and has worked so hard to bring joy and compassion and care. And you know, and he was in terrible war-torn Vietnam, and with his monks, and he send the monks out and tell them to look up at the night sky, the beautiful stars, you know, seeds of joy. I love that story somehow. So much about, I want to talk about what we've been doing here, you know, how we, in our, just in our meditation practice, we are cultivating compassion. Maybe you didn't realize, but you are. You know, again, if you just look at it, yeah, you know, when you're with the difficult, you're cultivating compassion, you know, when you're not, you know, just freaking out and shouting at yourself and, you know. Silently, of course, you're cultivating compassion. You know, when you keep coming back, you keep coming back, you're cultivating compassion. Isn't that amazing? We're all cultivating compassion. That's great. And it's real. You know, and it's so many different ways, without even having done a formal compassion meditation, which there also is if you're, you know, interested in that, that it's using the dukkha, isn't it, that there is, threaded through the day, our own and others, and, you know, when it's there, it's like, it becomes the transformation material, you know, to be, for the great alchemy of presence and patience, and to, for it to turn into this, you know, beautiful quality. Yeah, in many parts I was thinking, well, what, you know, what supports compassion, what helps that to come forth? And of course, you know, many, many things, and, you know, reflecting on, you know, other beings and how they just want to be happy and they don't want to suffer. Just reflecting on that. You know, for some people that's really helpful. And sometimes I think, you know, we can feel like it's just us, can't we, that's suffering. You ever get that? So they're all right, or somehow, well, they might not be all right, but they're not as bad as me. That's, you know, being able to really look at people and saying, no, they might be feeling right now, but they have suffering in their life, or they have, or they will, and we're all, it's like we're really in the same boat with this. And just reflecting on that can be, you know, helpful, of that sense of anybody and everybody can then be available for caring response. You know, kind of, again, place the practice of compassion. And not in a way of, you know, trying to be a good person. Oh, God forbid. Oh, please don't do that. It's really not. It doesn't work. Try to be a good person. Try to be really good. Am I good yet? Good. But it's this combination of some intention or interest in the welfare of beings, you know, our own and others, and then our presence and our mindfulness. And I give you one little example. When I was here in the summer, I was in a pharmacy, you know, chemist, and there was, it was here in Helsinki, and no, not here, this isn't Helsinki, anyway, it's over there somewhere, anyway, is it over there? Anyway, somewhere. I saw this mother and child, son, and she was in a real flap. She, you know, I couldn't understand what she was saying, but I could see, yeah, there's a flap going on here, and then something. I thought, there's something's wrong. And I just watched, and I realized I could, you know, when you just read, when you just look, and I could see, and I could guess, and I could figure out that he'd lost his little prescription note. You know, the thing with that he had to bring to the register to pay for it or something. So I'm like, So I just looked around and I saw it on the floor, sort of. I saw a piece of paper that I thought that might be it. So I just walked over and picked it up, and it was that. And then I just went back and I gave it to her. It was like, oh. And then I'm sure I got a thank you and kitos. Various other words that I'm not sure what they were. And it was, you know, it's very simple, isn't it? And then I wish it was always that simple, because it isn't. But do you see, it's like, it wasn't me in the chemist line trying to be a good person, right? Got my, you know, it was more like just, okay, you know. And so our mindfulness is for that. You know, we could say that's what it's for. And we include ourselves, you know, we're not. And I was also remembering a story from Martine Batchelor, who's been one of my teachers and colleague now. And she was talking about living in Sharpen Buddhist community years ago. And, you know, how at some point she was, you know, she was very busy and always in demand, always someone knocking on the door and saying, can you do this? Can you do that? What about this? What about that? And at some point she, you know, she was ill. So she just shut the door, and that was it. Sorry. Compassion for herself. And so that was probably a whole other topic for another talk about what, you know, about the importance of compassion for us, for ourselves, that it include ourselves, that we don't push our limits. If they're there, we do what we can, and sometimes maybe that's more than we think we can, you know. And so in a way we want to push our limits, but in another way we also want to be prepared not to push our limits. Again, it's like we have to be sensitive, don't we? We have to be open, because sometimes we can do way more than we think. And sometimes, no, we can't. I remember years and years ago, I lived at the women's peace camp at Greenham Common. And I was really sad because I wasn't brave enough to go into the base, to the part of the protest, as some of the women go into the base. And one of the women, so compassionate, just said to me, just being here is a good action. Just being here is a good action. And so when we think about the action that we can or want to do in the world about any one of many, many things that could call our attention for care, concern, you know, and action, you know, we can think of that. We can discern, you know, what we can offer. And also not hold ourselves back. I really like that this quote from Sharon Salzberg. She says, Compassion is the strength that arises out of seeing the true nature of suffering in the world. Compassion allows us to bear witness to that suffering, whether it is in ourselves or others, without fear. It allows us to act strongly with all the skill at our disposal. So, you know, I think compassion has many, many faces, doesn't it? And many facets, many qualities, and some of them are very receptive, and that very, you know, listening to the cries of the world. It's the traditional image of Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion. Or also is sometimes expressed as there's many, many arms, hands reaching out to help. And when I look at my own life and I look at what has made it possible for me to manifest a little bit of compassion. One of the things that seems to me most important is that I have at various times given myself to participating in particular communities of care, and that through what those communities have taught me and have drawn me into doing, I have been able to participate in helpful actions, and I have been helped to develop or to embody or contact some of that capacity, of that compassionate capacity. And for me, you know, I could name some of those, but you know, maybe different for different ones of us. But I feel like to participate in a group, in an organization, it's like some kind of shared action, but also it's the way that we're taught. You know, I give you one, okay, Quakers is something I've been involved in since I was a child at one of their schools. And one of the really central values of Quakerism is social action. And so I learned from very, very early on, I kind of took that in as a value, and it informed a lot of what I did, particularly during my 20s. And that, do you see, where's that coming from? It wasn't coming from me. It was obviously touching something in me and drawing me in, but it was again, this word, I keep using this word, catalyze, but it was something like my participation in that, and then I was catalyzing other people, we were acting together. It's a kind of, you know, so I hope that makes some sense. You know, some people go out and do great, you know, wonderful things from their heart on their own as well. So I don't want to kind of, you know, say that doesn't happen too. So I hope this has been somewhat of a opening up of this great theme, this great capacity of heart, and not in a way to create or perpetuate any images of idealistic, you know, perfection, sainthood, but to help germinate, you know, that seed of care that is, it's the manifestation of wisdom, because the heart of compassion is also the heart of wisdom that knows there is no separation, There is no, really, no me and you. There is just life, and there is love, and there is suffering, and it has this capacity to go everywhere and touch everything, like metta does. And that this is something, not that we have to construct and create and fabricate, but something more we can uncover and release. So I'll finish with this really beautiful prayer that I think comes from, it's a prayer that the Dalai Lama, I think, uses or says in his life to support him. May I become at all times, both now and forever, a protector for those without protection, a guide for those who have lost their way, a ship for those with oceans to cross, a sanctuary for those in danger, a lamp for those in need of light, a place of refuge for those in need of shelter, and a servant to all those in need.